Have you ever wanted to learn a new language, but just didn't have the time or money? I may have a solution for you. Her name is Jessica, and she gives free Chinese lessons daily at 11 p.m. Beijing time and 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Chinese is fun and easy if you have the right teacher. Let Jessica be that teacher and introduce yourself to the fastest growing language in the international job market today at tinyurl.com/tcjessica and tell her Ian sent you.
Do you like fine art but think it might be out of your price range? Do you have a vision for a painting that you'd like to see brought to life but you just don't have the skill? I might have a solution for you. Art by Daisy. With decades of experience, Daisy offers high-quality, affordable watercolor paintings suitable for hanging in your home, office, or even as a gift. With prices starting at just $55, visit tinyurl.com/artbydaisy to find out more. Hello, and welcome to the Deathcast. I am your host, author, and journalist, Ian Totten. I'd like to thank you for joining me for the very first proper episode of the year 2024. Before we get going, as always, I have the normal show notes. If you'd like to help support their show, there's a couple ways that you can do this. First and foremost, you can go to your favorite podcasting app and leave a 5-star review. Also, please don't forget to subscribe. You can also go to buymeacoffee.com/thedeathcast, make a one-time donation. If you really enjoy what I do, you want access to early release episodes as well as exclusive content such as the Columbine series I am currently undertaking, you can go to tinyurl.com/dcastpatreon. For as little as $2 a month, you can become a Patreon member like our patrons Channel and Anthony. If Patreon's not something you're really into doing, you can also now find the exclusive episodes on Apple Podcasts under the Subscribe tab for $2.99 a month. If you'd like to find me on social media, just search for The Deathcast, Deathcast Pod, Deathcast Official. You can find me on most social media platforms under any of those monikers, but although, be honest, if you want to interact with me, your best chances of doing that are almost certainly on TikTok at this point. Just look for Deathcast_official. All right, now that all of that is out of the way, find yourself a nice comfy chair, kick back, relax. I've got my coffee, I've got my cigarettes. Let's go into the crypt. So, we're tackling a multi-part series to start off the year. And I was trying to decide which case we were going to cover first. I have a number of cases that have been suggested by fans of the show on the Facebook page, The Deathcast. And I decided on one that, to me, is grossly underreported on and misunderstood as terms of the perpetrator, and that's the Unabomber Theodore Kaczynski, also known as Ted Kaczynski. What do I mean by it's underreported on? The reasons for the actions of Ted Kaczynski are often overlooked. It's understandable given that the things he did in order to try and get his message out to the world were rather insane. But he did have a message, and I personally think that it was a good message, in that he believed in really shunning many of the technological advances of society in order to have a more self-sustaining lifestyle. I'm not saying everything he espoused in his views on this particular subject are correct, or that I believe in all of them or willing to do all of them. Just that I believe his idea of being more self-sufficient, less reliant on the government and on modern technology does have its merits. And I say this as someone who had, for most of my adult life, very few connections with modern technology outside of having electricity and a running car. I mean, I've only had internet for maybe 10 solid years since I turned 18 years old. And I do have to say, my own experience, my life was easier and generally overall better prior to the internet coming into my life. But it's one of those things that it's a modern convenience, and once you start using it, you tend to stay using it. But I also wanted to cover Kaczynski because many people have a difficult time grasping how this obviously brilliant man could go so far off the rails in his quest, his desire to really try and force his ideology on others. And it's really not that difficult to see if you look at others who had what we consider a very extreme ideology, who went to great lengths to institute those ideologies. History is littered with these individuals who, like Kaczynski, went to the most extreme of lengths to get their ideologies to the masses and to force those ideologies on others. There are currently some governments in the world today that are active in that type of action. However, I won't name some of them because my show happens to be fairly popular in those countries, and I do not want to get the people who I know that listen to the show in those countries in trouble. Kaczynski is a difficult nut to crack, because on the one hand, he was a genius. On the other hand, he was a madman. Many of you who are somewhat familiar with true crime are aware of the concept of nature versus nurture. Meaning, was an individual born bad, or were they made bad by their environment? Kaczynski is a classic example of this idea, because as we start looking into his early years, you're going to see, from all appearances, he had a fairly decent childhood. There was none of the neglect or abuse that you see in the lives of other individuals who carry out similar acts of violence. But there are some questionable things in his adolescence once he gets into college that make you pause and wonder as to whether or not he was made this way by actions of members of our government. And now people are going, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. We're going to get to it. Maybe this episode, probably not. Ted Kaczynski was a subject of the MKUltra project, which, if you're not aware what that was a CIA-funded operation designed to create what has colloquially become termed as Manchurian candidates. Its main focus was mind control, oftentimes using LSD. This is not the stuff of fantasy. This is stuff that our government has admitted to only after being forced to by Congress and Freedom of Information Act requests. Although a good majority of that information is still not known because the CIA claimed that all of the files had been destroyed. Kaczynski was a subject of this operation, and people did notice a marked change about him after he underwent whatever it was that they had done to him. Theodore John Kaczynski was born May 22, 1942, in Chicago, Illinois, to working-class parents Wanda and Theodore Richard Kaczynski, who was a sausage maker. One of the earliest known aberrations in young Ted's life came when he was still an infant at age 9 months old. Ted had some form of unspecified illness that caused him to be hospitalized. And during the course of this hospitalization, Ted was pretty much placed in isolation away from his parents, despite the fact that he was obviously hysterical and crying for them. And it has since been learned that though these period of time, the first months of a child's life, is really the most important as terms of building familial bonds. Ted was unable to do this. Further on, when his brother David was born, when Ted turned 7 years old, he was left in the lobby as his father and grandmother went back to the maternity ward to be with Ted's mother and newborn brother. His brother David later stated, "Always had the sense that something was missing. The bond was never completely there the way it had been with me." His brother also said that Ted really, even going that far back, had difficulty connecting with people, oftentimes preferring to befriend youths who were 5-6 years younger than him, and this could be because he was able to dominate them personality-wise. But his brother did talk about baseball games where Ted would become extremely embarrassed and angry with himself for the slightest error. However, he would berate other teammates for even the smallest of mistakes. David also said that his brother, as they grew older, would lock himself in his bedroom for hours at a time, doing his own research, reading, that type of thing. And it seemed to those in the family that this was where Ted was most comfortable. Now, this could come from the fact that he was not able to build those familial bonds with his parents. It could also be part of the genius that he was gifted and cursed with. Oftentimes you will see this with individuals who have very high IQs. They are unable to relate to other people, and as a result of that, they will withdraw from those people. Ted attended grades 1st through 4th at the Sherman Elementary School in Chicago, where he was described as being healthy and well-adjusted. By most accounts, when the family moved in 1952 to suburban Evergreen Park, which is also in Illinois, a teacher at the school Ted was attending 5th grade at had an IQ test performed on him, and it was found that he had an IQ of 167. I want you to take a moment and think about that. You have a 5th grader who is, I don't know, 11, 12 years old, somewhere in that range, with an IQ that is higher than 80% of the human populace walking around. Most humans average, you know, just over 100. Believe 105, 110, somewhere around that range. So we've got a 5th grader who is smarter than anyone he is coming into contact with. That may explain the difficulty he had in relating to people. Kaczynski himself stated that having this IQ test performed on him was a pivotal moment in his life, as, again, this is his recollection, not the recollection of his brother David. Up until that point, he had fit in with his peers and even been a leader. However, when it was discovered that he had such a high intellect, Kaczynski ends up being skipped ahead in school. It should also be noted that because of his high IQ, Ted's parents really pushed him very hard for academic excellence. After being skipped ahead two grades, Kaczynski found it very difficult to fit in as he was much smaller than the other students in his grade, and they looked at him as being somewhat different due to his much higher intellect. It should be noted, though, that Kaczynski continued to participate in various activities in school despite the discomfort that he was feeling. Kaczynski was very active in the chess club as well as in the German club. David also described his brother moving ahead and into high school as something of a quote-unquote friendless academic pariah. David also stated that his brother seemed, quote, incapable of sympathy, insight, or simple connection with people. These can be signs of an individual with a higher intellect. If you've ever heard the story that was given in the book Dungeon Master, James Dallas Egbert III, he was very similar to Ted Kaczynski in a lot of ways in that he had an extremely high IQ. And because of this, and the fact that his parents pushed him academically, he had a very difficult time fitting in with his peers and in socializing with others. Now, in the story of Egbert, he's 16, 17 years old, and he ends up going to Michigan State University and vanishing before being found by a private investigator hired by the family to find him. Egbert ends up killing himself, but it's a similar story in that they're both very high intellect. They have this difficulty connecting with other people, and they're being pushed to, you know, quote-unquote, live up to their potential. I have read articles in recent years discussing children who have extremely high IQs, and some people believe that it is better to leave these individuals with these higher IQs with their peers rather than to, you know, quote-unquote, challenge them academically by moving them ahead into a peer group in which they do not fit in. There is some evidence for and against this idea, but it gives us a little bit of insight into Kaczynski and may explain why he had an easier time interacting with children closer to his brother David's age than he did interacting with those in his own age group. Kaczynski ends up going to Evergreen Park Community High School, where naturally he excels at academics. He also plays the trombone in the marching band and is involved in numerous school-related clubs and activities. I'm going to read an article from the Chicago Tribune by Andrew Martin and Robert Becker. This is from April 16th of 1996 and kind of describes Kaczynski in high school. Egghead Kaczynski was a loner in high school. They were the smartest boys at the high school, a rumpled group of teenagers who sat together in the cafeteria, experimented with explosives in the chemistry lab, and stayed after class to puzzle over calculus problems and probability theory in the math club. Some classmates at Evergreen Park Community High School in the late 1950s remembered them as the Briefcase Boys, referring to what even then was considered a socially suspect manner of carrying textbooks. Theodore Kaczynski, the Montana recluse suspected of being the Unabomber, was among this loose-knit clique of overachievers, and many considered him the smartest. But even in a group that many considered eggheads, Teddy Kaczynski was considered a misfit, an insecure teenager who preferred the company of textbooks to classmates. There was a group of us who were kind of at the top of the class, remembered classmate Russell Mosney, now a computer programmer in Schaumburg. We were the eggheads. We were into science and books, and the others were out playing football. Although the group's interest in academics set them apart, they were by no means antisocial. Indeed, members of Briefcase Boys ran for student council, played in the band, built a canoe, and dated girls from nearby Mother Macaulay Liberal Arts High School and All Girls Catholic School. But Kaczynski, the skinny kid with an uncombed head of hair punctuated by a cowlick who carried an alligator skin briefcase, rarely socialized outside of an academic setting, they said. I don't remember any social thing we did together, Mosney said. We never went to a movie or anything like that. Ted, as an individual, though he interacted with us fairly comfortably, was still not socially involved with any one of us, Mosney added. He seemed to have a really non-existent social life. The dynamics of the group, Kaczynski always the odd man out, seemed to have foreshadowed the future. While other members of the Briefcase Boys settled into careers as computer programmers, pharmacists, and college professors, Kaczynski veered into his now infamous path, leaving a promising life in academia for a life of seclusion and allegedly terrorism in a 10 by 12 foot Montana cabin. So you can get kind of a idea of how Kaczynski was seen by those who knew him. Now, some of this recollection may be in hindsight, given the fact that when this article was written, Kaczynski had been arrested only a few short months prior. But it does give us more insight into him. He was not a people person. He preferred to spend his time working on his own things and focusing on those things to the exclusion of all others. It was during high school that Kaczynski really found the first true love of his life, which was mathematics. Kaczynski was always considered to be the brightest student in the school, so much so, in fact, that he ends up being placed in a more advanced mathematics course in the school, and quickly he masters this, so they skip him ahead yet again, right over 11th grade and into 12th grade. Kaczynski ends up attending summer school, I'm almost certain, at the insistence of his parents, and graduates at the age of 15. After this, Kaczynski is encouraged by many to apply to Harvard University, and he does this and is in fact accepted. And in 1958, at the age of 16 years old, Ted Kaczynski travels to Harvard University to begin his freshman year. Try and envision that. You're a 16-year-old boy. Your whole life you've been smarter than everyone else, and now you are in college when you can't even drive a car or legally buy a beer or get married. You're in college, one of the most prestigious colleges in the entire country. According to an article in the Harvard Crimson, during his first year at the college, Kaczynski stayed at 8 Prescott Street, which is currently the College Writing Program building. This building was created by Dean of Freshmen F. Skitty von Stade Jr. with the intent of providing a rather sheltered living space for new students who the school deemed to be quote-unquote promising and precocious. However, the article goes on to further state that in reality, the housing was intended more for individuals who came from less of a financially rich background than the majority of the students at Harvard. the article writers speculate that this may have been the first step in isolation for Kaczynski while he was at the school. We know that for his remaining years, he moved into Elliott House, and while he did interact with individuals within the house, all of whom saw him as a genius, they all stated pretty much the same thing, that Kaczynski was socially inept and reclusive when it came to interaction with other people. His housemates also stated that the area in Elliott House that they lived in was the cheapest of the cheap rooms, as at that period of time, Harvard offered dormitories on a fluctuating rate basis. Again, according to this article, which I'm going to quote, Kaczynski, quote, would just rush through the suite, go into his room, and slam the door, McIntosh recalled. And when we would go into his room, there would be piles of books and uneaten sandwiches that would make the place smell. This same individual further goes on to talk about trying to eat with Kaczynski in the mess hall, stating, quote, we tried to sit next to Ted to see what he's like, but he would only sit there for 5-15 seconds, then he would get up and go. McIntosh said he would not have anything to do with us. However, others who attended Harvard with Kaczynski painted a different picture of him. A graduate by the name of John V. Federico stated, he was very quiet but personable. He would enter into the discussions maybe a little less so than most, but he was certainly friendly. He was younger, and he seemed to be on the shy side, so you need to make some effort to draw him out, but he could do that. It was while he was at Harvard, specifically in his freshman year, that Kaczynski encountered an individual by the name of Henry A. Murray, who was a psychologist. And Murray, as did many psychologists at schools throughout the United States, as well as prisons in the United States and Canada, was affiliated with the Central Intelligence Agency's program known as MKUltra, which was a mind control study program. Again, I want to stress this. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is factual. There is evidence for it. The federal government has admitted it to some extent. And I'm stressing this point again because so many people in our society today hear this type of thing and automatically they turn their brains off and say this is conspiracy theory bullshit. No, this is not. This is based in fact. It's in the history books. There were congressional hearings over this, which led to the discovery that the majority of the documentation had been destroyed. And it's only through the research of hundreds, if not thousands, of individuals in the years since those congressional hearings that we have any idea about what actually took place inside of these research cells. These research cells, each school had different things that they were focusing on. Whereas one might be working to break down a person's free will, another might be working to figure out ways to manipulate people into doing what they wanted. And another could be experimenting with LSD as a means of mind control. And they didn't just do this to college students who were asked to be participants in an experiment for the school. They didn't just do it to prisoners. They also did it to people out in public, as well as individuals working for the CIA themselves. I know most of you out there have seen James Bond movies and things of that nature where they've got, you know, the umbrellas that deliver the poison mist. Well, the CIA was actually developing tools to deliver LSD in a very similar fashion. I know this sounds like the stuff out of, you know, batshit crazy land, but it is actually fact. And Kaczynski was involved in one of these experiments run by Dr. Murray. According to a CIA document that was released in 2018, the project attempted to produce a perfect truth drug for use in interrogating suspected Soviet spies during the Cold War and generally to explore any other possibilities of mind control. Now, according to an article written by Professor Alistair Chase, who is himself a graduate of Harvard and also was a correspondent with Kaczynski after his arrest, and in fact went on to write a book about the Unabomber, who stated that in 1959, a house stood at number 7 Divinity Avenue, which was run by the Department of Social Relations to conduct research on human subjects. And it was there, starting from the fall of 1959 through the spring of 1962, Henry A. Murray conducted his experiments. Chase goes on to state that the experiments were, quote, a disturbing and what would be seen as ethically indefensible experiment on 22 undergraduates. Within this program, Kaczynski was known as lawful. Now, according to Kaczynski in his correspondence with Chase, the Henry A. Murray Research Center of the Radcliffe Institute for Advanced Study had released some information on Kaczynski's time in the experiments that Murray was conducting. However, for the most part, they refused to share any of the team's analysis of that data, further stating that the Institute had told psychologists not to talk with Kaczynski's defense team. Now, according to the records that Chase was able to view, the purpose of Murray's experiments were to measure how individuals dealt with stress. They did this by subjecting their subjects to intense interrogations, which were called, quote, vehement, sweeping, and personally abusive. A psychiatrist who examined Kaczynski during the course of his trial wrote about Kaczynski and his set of beliefs, which she characterized as one being a desire to live away from society because it is bad, and that his family had done him injustices. This woman wrote, quote, during his college years, he had fantasies of living a primitive life and fantasized himself as an agitator, rousing mobs to frenzies of revolutionary violence. He claims that during the time he started to think about breaking away from normal society. Now, in letters to Chase, Kaczynski expounded on his ideologies, stating that it was while he was at Harvard he first encountered these ideas and that they first took root within him as he found them morally acceptable. One of the problems with what happened to Kaczynski at Harvard is the fact that because his code name became known to some reporters, the Institute has not allowed the analytical data from the tests that were conducted on him to be released publicly. In fact, I have found nothing online to indicate that anyone outside of the Institute has seen this set of data. We do know that Kaczynski was subjected to really an ego assassination on him. Unfortunately, we will likely never know what actually happened to Ted Kaczynski while he was at Harvard University, as the Radcliffe Institute has refused to release any of the data associated with him from these experiments, be it to reporters, members of his criminal defense teams, other academics, that type of thing. We do know, though, that whatever it was that he really experienced there did have an extremely adverse effect on Ted Kaczynski. And we know this because his brother and others who encountered him during this period of his life have stated that whatever it was that Ted went through while he was at Harvard had a profound effect on him. They noticed a marked difference in his personality after these experiments had been conducted. And to me, it's amazing that any of the individuals involved in this never faced any sort of reprisals. Dr. Murray never had any sort of consequences for his administering of these experiments, despite the fact that when Ted Kaczynski started Harvard, and from the information I could find, he was 16 years old when these experiments began to be done on him, which means that this Murray asshole was abusing a child in a horrifically barbaric psychological manner. It's known that these subjects were tricked into kind of participating in this experiment, being told that they would be debating others on their personal philosophy, and as such, they were instructed to write essays on these philosophies, at which point the subject was exposed to the reality of this experiment, in which a nameless individual would confront them with the information from their essays and proceed to belittle them while electrodes were attached to their craniums in order to study their brainwaves. It's known that Kaczynski spent at least 3 years in this program and was subjected to this abuse for an estimated 200 hours. And while some believe that this may be the catalyst that started Kaczynski off down the path that he eventually took, Kaczynski himself refuted this, stating that although he resented Dr. Murray and the individuals responsible for his humiliations as it was an invasion of his privacy, he did not begrudge them in the manner that the media was trying to depict. However, I contend that that possibility cannot be ruled out because of the age that Kaczynski was when he began participating in these experiments and the fact that his mind and his psyche were not fully developed. I believe it very well could have had a much more negative impact on not only his worldview, but on his view of society and human life than even Kaczynski himself may have understood. Kaczynski ends up graduating from Harvard in 1962 with a GPA of 3.12 at the age of 20. From here, he moves on to the University of Michigan, where Kaczynski earns first his master's and then his doctoral degrees in mathematics in 1964 and 1967, respectively. From all indications, his parents were exceedingly proud of their oldest son for having achieved these amazing feats of intellect. His brother David did note that Kaczynski's personality continued to shift, and it was very often difficult to pin down what type of Ted you were going to get, stating that more often than not, Ted preferred to be in control of situations, and so long as he was in control of situations, everything was fine. However, if the individual interacting with Ted began to question him or to push back at Ted, he would become irritated and angry at them. Some have stated that this was because Kaczynski was suffering from undiagnosed schizophrenia, even at this early part in his life. However, individuals who were in communication with Kaczynski throughout the years stated they never saw any signs of this mental illness with him. And in fact, individuals I know who have communicated with Kaczynski while he has been incarcerated have stated the same thing. He came off as very honest and straightforward without any of the atypical signs of schizophrenia that are often apparent in an individual who is suffering from it, such as, you know, confusion of thoughts, hearing voices, delusions, that type of thing. It's known that Kaczynski dated fairly infrequently during these years. It does not appear that he had any sort of long-term relationship with a woman. And I want to make it clear here, because I've read some articles that are completely out there stating that, you know, maybe the reason Kaczynski did the things he did is because he was a closeted homosexual, and because of society at that time, he knew that he couldn't come out if he wanted to have any sort of a career, so instead he just withdrew into himself and it drove him mad. That is absolute bullshit. Everyone who knew Ted Kaczynski has stated that he was openly heterosexual and had no inclination towards same-sex relations. The reason Kaczynski ended up going with Michigan State University was he did not come from a family of means, and he was trying to get a teaching position as well as financial aid in the package that he was trying to put together for going to these schools. And he had also applied to the University of Berkeley and the University of Chicago, both of which accepted him. However, they were unable to offer him any form of financial incentive, which led to Ted deciding to go to Michigan. Regarding his time at the University of Michigan, Kaczynski wrote in an unpublished memoir from 1979, "So I went to U of Michigan in the fall of 1962, and I spent 5 years there. These were the most miserable years of my life, except for the first year and the last year." Upon going to Michigan, Kaczynski was given a grant of $2,310 a year to serve as a student teacher. And Kaczynski limited himself to 2 courses per semester. This was because of the amount of teaching that he was doing. It was noted that Kaczynski was not seen as a very good teacher by those within Michigan State University. However, despite this, Kaczynski was considered to be the star of the mathematics department. A professor by the name of Alan Shields wrote, "Best man I have ever seen," while another teacher wrote, "He just seems a little too sure of himself." And that is not without reason. We've already gone over the fact that Ted Kaczynski was a genius. He was so far advanced in his field of mathematics that by the time he arrives at Michigan State University, he has been published in numerous peer review magazines on mathematics after having solved extremely difficult equations. One story goes that one of his instructors put a quandary to the students that he had had a problem trying to solve a mathematical subject known as boundary functions that no one had been able to solve. And according to this teacher, a few weeks after this, Kaczynski presented him with 100 handwritten pieces of paper having solved this problem. Kaczynski's doctoral thesis was entitled "Boundary Functions," and ended up being awarded the Summer Meyer Prize for the university's best mathematical thesis of the year, which got Kaczynski $100. However, academic success and really showing everyone up was not enough for Kaczynski. He really hated his time at Michigan. Again, in this unpublished autobiography, he stated, "The fact that I not only passed my courses, except one physics course, but got quite a few A's shows how wretchedly low the standards were at Michigan." before going on to state the atmosphere to me felt extremely sordid. Most instructors and most students did only what they had to do. There was no interest or enthusiasm or even any sense of responsibility about doing a good job. On the teaching, he stated that it was sloppy, careless, poorly organized teaching can destroy the morale of many students. Kaczynski also wrote about his time living in a boarding house where he says, the sounds of a couple having sex through the thin walls of the building drove him mad. And many speculate that this quote-unquote madness was a sign of the sexual repression that Ted was feeling. As from all accounts that I could find, it's more likely than not that Kaczynski never had an intimate relationship with another human being in that fashion. Kaczynski reported this couple to the university, which took no action. He also reported that it was at this period of time that he began to feel that his landlord was turning others against him. Kaczynski stated in letters to individuals that it was during this period of time where he began to have a recurring nightmare in which manifested as psychologists were hounding and harassing him. According to Kaczynski, in these dreams, the psychologists were trying to control his mind, which caused him to grow angrier and angrier. Kaczynski stated that eventually in these dreams, he would kill the psychologists and his cronies. And there is a very good possibility, in fact, more of than a possibility, a probability, that these dreams stemmed from the experiments that Kaczynski underwent while he was attending Harvard, and that he was either too self-absorbed or too proud to analyze them and understand what they were, which was his mind fighting back against what had been done to him. It's known that during the summer of 1966, Ted, who was having all of these mental issues, began to fantasize about possibly having himself turned into a woman in order that he could feel the embrace of a female partner. Returning to school that fall, Kaczynski went so far as to have a meeting with a psychiatrist where he intended to discuss this matter with the individual. However, he found he was unable to do so, and when the psychiatrist pressed him as to why he was there, he said he was feeling depressed over the fact that he might be drafted into military service. Now, according to Kaczynski, when he left this psychiatrist's office, he was overcome with emotions such as shame and guilt. And eventually his mind turned to the idea of killing this psychiatrist. And according again to Kaczynski, this idea had the opposite effect on him as he had been feeling, and he felt elated at the idea of removing this man from the world, which again goes into my hypothesis that these dreams that he was having and a lot of the targets that he chose later on during his career as the Unabomber were in fact a direct correlation to the experiments he had undergone under Dr. Murray. Now, according to Professor Chase in the article and subsequent book he wrote on the Unabomber, Kaczynski stated that it was at this point that he decided that he was going to commit his life to killing other people. And I have to question whether or not Kaczynski meant this when he told the professor that, as by his own accounting, as his later bombing career progressed, Kaczynski really went out of his way to a certain degree to avoid human targets, which tells me that Kaczynski was more likely than not manipulating this professor and giving him what he felt the man wanted to hear as opposed to what he, Kaczynski, was really feeling inside, which I believe was a deep-seated simmering rage at Dr. Murray, but also at his parents for insisting that he push himself academically and then allowing him to be sent off into a situation where this type of experimentation could be conducted upon him. Now, the psychologist that was hired by Kaczynski's defense team wrote in her notes that during her talks with Kaczynski, he stated that after having this realization that he needed to dedicate his life to killing, he told her that he at that point decided that he was going to go to Canada, where he would hide out with a gun as his only companion, further stating that if it didn't work out and he made it back to society alive, then he would find somebody that he hated and kill them. Again, I think this is more likely than not manipulation on Kaczynski's part in an effort to make himself possibly appear crazy or to portray himself as a true serial killer. Which, despite what the FBI states, I don't believe Kaczynski was. It may have started out as a vengeful individual targeting specific human targets, but I believe by the end of his campaign, he had moved past that part and was simply targeting institutions that he held a grudge with and was therefore not really concerned with the taking of human life. Kaczynski then decides that in order to fulfill this dream of his of living in the wilderness, he needs to get a job and save enough money up so that he can buy land. So when he graduates from the University of Michigan with his doctoral degree in 1967, he ends up getting a job with the University of Berkeley. His job being an active assistant professor in mathematics. Kaczynski, upon taking this job, was noted as being the youngest professor in the history of the university. Kaczynski did very well while he was at Berkeley. By the summer of 1968, he had been formally appointed as an assistant professor, which in college parlance means that he was on his way to receiving tenure. It was noted in his evaluations that he was generally disliked by his students, as he was a very straightforward teacher who taught straight from the textbook and refused to answer any form of questions. On June 30th of 1969, Ted Kaczynski officially resigned his position at the University of Berkeley. And this took everyone at the university, particularly in the mathematics department, completely by surprise. With Kaczynski's main supervisor later writing that it took everyone completely out of the blue. The reasons for this were that Kaczynski was not feeling fulfilled in his job at Berkeley, but also because the desire to live in the wilderness away from society had become so great, and he had decided that he had saved up enough money to go out and achieve his life's dreams. We are going to cut it off here at this point. 1969, moving into 1970. Next week, we will be getting into the beginnings of the crime spree for which Kaczynski would become infamous. I hope you have enjoyed this first part in our series on Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. Again, if you like this show, please consider leaving a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting app and consider making a donation to the show via buymeacoffee.com/thedeskcast or becoming a Patreon member at tinyurl.com/dcastpatreon. You can find both of those links and many others in the show notes. Until next week, The Death Cast is a production of Corpse Creek Publishing in association with Big Pond Podcasting. Stay morbid.